Romans 8, starting at verse 12, going to verse 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. As we start, I want you to think about what it looks like to be on the outside looking in. None of us really want to be in that position where we're not in the inner circle, where we're looking in on the fun but not actually a part of it. I played football quite a lot growing up, but due to family life, I've kind of somewhat gone into retirement. But a month ago or so ago, I played, a friend of mine said, oh, come, you can play on Saturday, and I did. And unsurprisingly, my first game in years, I was on the bench. But even as I sat on the bench, which is where I deserve to be because I've not played and I'm unfit, there was that part of me, that inner part of me that thought, I should be on the pitch. I should be there. I should be part of it. I shouldn't be on the outside. I should be on the pitch. And that's how we think, don't we? We want to be a part of it. And even more so when we think about families. Sadly, there are people who are ostracized from their families, who are separated from them. But don't we all want to be part of a solid family unit? We all strive for that love, for that care. And the amazing truth today is we look at adoption. We see what God does to change our status, to change our family, to make us part of his family. See, it's an amazing thing. God changes our status. We are no longer enemies of him, but we are his children. That is the adoption that we see in God's word. That is the adoption we see from the Bible. That we're no longer enemies, but we are sons and daughters. A position that none of us deserve, but through the Spirit, God brings it about. That's what we can see, that we are no longer outsiders. We are no longer looking in, but we are part of the family. Through the Spirit, we are part of the family. And that's the first thing I want to show you that this morning, that through the Spirit, we are adopted into sonship. We are adopted into sonship. See, in the middle of verse 15 with me, rather, the Spirit you see received brought about your adoption to sonship. The moment someone becomes a follower of Jesus, we receive that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity, we've seen it described as the executor of God's plans. He lives in us. And he brings about our adoption. We are part of God's family. See, adoption is a beautiful thing. Bringing someone into your family who wasn't born into it, giving them love and stability, caring for them, making them yours. It's a beautiful thing. Because that person was not born into your family, but there's no way you can tell them that they're not in your family, because they are. Adoption is wonderful. And as great as adoption is, the adoption we see around us, adoption into God's family is greater. Adoption into God's family is greater. Because the truth is, we are so undeserving of that adoption. We are so undeserving. When we are born, the Bible tells us we're born in opposition to God. We're born as sinners. We can't be in a relationship with God. God has to keep us at arm's length because His perfectness and our sin and our wrong cannot mix. Just think how many times this week you've acted or thought in a way that you know is wrong. This week alone, I can think about the times where I've got angry while I'm driving. I've lost patience with my son. I've been lazy, been selfish. And the list can go on and on and on. And that's just this week. Spotify, at the end of the year, do their Spotify Wrapped. And it tells you what sort of music you listen to, what type of podcast. Well, if there was a Spotify Wrapped, so to speak, of my life, then it wouldn't be a good display. It'd be filled with things that are wrong. And even though that is the case for me, and I know that it's the case for everyone here, because everyone falls short of the glory of God. God still brought about our adoption. The God who should have nothing to do with us sends His Son so that we can be adopted into His family. And our adoption, well, it came at a cost. There wasn't paperwork. But no, it meant the innocent one, the perfect one, the sinless one, God's only Son, came down and hung on a cross. And as He hung on the cross, He took the punishment that my sin deserves so that God could call me son. I could be part of God's family. Once an outsider, I'm now on the inside. I'm now on the pitch. When you're part of a new family, or part of any family, each family has their own specific way of doing things. Christmas is coming up, so I'm sure if I asked, everyone has their own way of opening presents, or what time they have Christmas dinner, so to speak. Or their specific rules on how Uno works, because that usually causes a few arguments. But if we're now part of God's family, shouldn't we be living like it? If I am now an adopted son of God, shouldn't that change the way I live? Many of you heard my son's wonderful rendition of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. I think you've gathered that he's quite loud. My wife will tell me that he gets that loudness from me, but I don't know about that. I think I'm quite shy and retiring, but I don't know. But no, he does. He gets his loudness from me. And I see some teenagers here, and as much as it's a bit awkward, you are probably more like your parents than you realize you are or want to be. Because the truth is, we are more like our parents because, well, we learn from them. We spend time with them. We do the things that they do. We often like the things they like and don't like the things that they don't like. Because that's what it is about being part of someone's family. And that's the same way. It should be like that as we're part of God's family. If we are part of God's family, if we are adopted sons and daughters, we should live like it. How do we do that? Well, by saying no to sin. We say no to sin. We see in verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. Another word you can describe the flesh is sin. Paul is saying, Christians, you don't owe the flesh anything. So in our sinful nature says to us, go on, waste time, gossip about that person, do all the things you know is wrong to do. We're not bound by that anymore because God has changed our status. We're no longer living for death, but for life. For verse 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But it carries on saying that, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. What's that saying? We should say no to sin and yes to God. If we are part of God's family, if we are an adopted child of God, that should change the way that we live. And this isn't meaning we're not going to sin. Every day I struggle. But it should change my mindset. And I want to ask a question, that if you are someone who calls yourself a Christian, but there is no difference between the way you lived before you were a Christian and after you're a Christian, then are you really showing the family likeness? Are you really living as a child of God? Because often word is easier than deed. It's often easier to say these things. But when it comes to living it out, it's harder. I can often say, right, today I'll be patient with Isaac when he doesn't listen to me. But when it comes down to it, what happens? I'm way more impatient than I should be. We don't need to just be saying that we want to live like God. We need to be living like him. And we have the perfect example in Jesus. That older brother. See, I feel like siblings were always getting compared to one another. Be more like your sister. Be more like your brother. But in this case, it's wonderful to be compared to Jesus. We should be compared to him. We should be wanting to live like him. Because he went through all the temptations we went through. But he didn't say yes. He said no. He showed what it was really like to be a child of God. He was God's son and he lived like it. If we are God's children, if we are God's adopted children, we need to live like it. Being an adopted child of God should change the way that we live. We can say no to sin. We can show that we're adopted children by fighting sin. That's the first thing, that through the Spirit we are adopted into sonship. The second thing I want to show you this morning is through the Spirit we can call God Father. We can call God Father. Second half of verse 15 says, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Adopted children of God, as adopted children of God, we can call the creator of the universe that. That's amazing. The one who spoke the world into being, we can call him Dad. As I look out, I know that the term Father or dad can evoke very differing emotions. For some, your dads were great. And let me tell you that as great as your dad was or is, God is a greater father. But for others, I know that talking about father is uncomfortable because it brings back bad memories of maybe an absent father or a father who left. But let me reassure you that God is not that type of father. He's not absent. He doesn't abandon you. He doesn't abuse you. God is the kind of father that every earthly father should long to be like. He's the best. And what does it mean that we get to call him Father? Well, we can call out to him. We can be dependent on him. And we should be dependent on him. Often when Isaac wants something that is out of reach, probably out of reach because it should be out of reach, but he wants it nonetheless, he screams, Daddy, Daddy, and points to it because he knows that I can get it. I can reach the things that he can't. In that moment, he's showing a level of dependence. When he's fallen and bumped his head, who does he cry for? Well, he cries for his mum, but I come second place if she's not available. But you get the point. that when there is a need, he runs to his dad. He's showing a dependence on me. I can comfort him. I can care for him. I'll do everything I can to make him happy. And that's me, a father who fails multiple times a day. How much greater is it that we can call upon God the Father? The best father. But truth is, so often we don't. So often we don't pick up the phone. We don't call out to him. We waste that amazing privilege that we have that we can call God Father. If you're someone here today and you're an adopted child of God, how is your relationship with the Father? Are you spending time with him? Are you reading his word? Are you calling out to him in prayer? As I've been preparing this, I've been very struck by the lack of me calling out to the Father, the lack of dependence that I have on him. We need to be more like children and less like teenagers and older. Because I think the older we get, the more we feel like we can do it by ourselves. We hit that age where we're no longer looking at manuals, but we think we've got it sussed. But no, we always need the Father. We always need that helping hand. The one who brought about our adoption doesn't just bring about our adoption and then just leave us there. No, he's there so we can call out to him. He urges you to spend more time in prayer. Spend more time reading his word. It's a wonderful privilege that we have that we can call God Father. And we should use that privilege. We shouldn't waste it. We should use it. It's an amazing thing that through the Spirit, we can call God Father. Thirdly, through the Spirit, we can be sure of our identity. We can be sure of our identity. Look down with me at verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are God's children. That statement there removes doubt. Our standing, our position as God's children is secure. We are 100% adopted children of God. And if you see, it's by the Spirit. It's not what we do. We haven't clung back to make sure that it happens. No, through the Spirit, we are adopted as God's children. And that's a secure thing. It's a secure place to be. Doubt is a common feeling to have with many things. But often as a believer in Jesus, there is quite a bit of doubt. When you're struggling with that same sin over and over again, that doubt creeps in more and more. There's a wonderful hymn that reminds us. It reminds us of that when we are doubting, that there's nothing that we can do to stop our doubt, that we can't earn our way back to God. But no, it's because of Jesus. It says, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. You see, our security isn't based in our performance. Because if that was the case, then we're not very secure. But no, our security is based on Jesus' death on the cross. That when God sees us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees Jesus' perfection. That's how we can be sure that we are sons of God. Sons and daughters of God. He has changed our identity We are now in him. And are we showing that? Are we showing that our identity has changed? Or as Christians, are we in like witness protection? Are we same as our neighbors, same as our colleagues who don't know Jesus? No, if our identity has changed, we should be showing it. We should be wearing that new identity that has been given to us. We are part of God's family. We are secure. We can be confident in that. That we are secure. Lastly, last point I want to share with you this morning is that through the Spirit, we have a glorious future. We have a glorious future. As Christians, we have the greatest inheritance. Now, the path to get there isn't smooth, but the destination is wonderful. Verse 17 helps us understand. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. As God's adopted children, we are co-heirs with Christ. The one who died in our place is the one who stands next to us as we receive our inheritance. If you're co-something, it's usually because you're working alongside. If you think of a co-pilot, what are they doing? They're assisting the pilot. We're standing next to Jesus in a cockpit. We have no right to be there. We have no qualifications. But we have his. And we share the same inheritance. See, when we usually think of inheritance, it's something that received when someone dies. So you might get some money or some property or some belongings, and you do whatever you want with them as long as you pay tax on it. You might sell some of it, you might keep some of it. But the cycle repeats itself, because if you pass away, then you leave that to someone else. Because there's death involved. This is where the inheritance that we have as believers is different. The death cycle is broken. Because this inheritance isn't brought about by death. It's brought about by life. See, Jesus died on a cross, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again. He defeated death. So our inheritance isn't God, isn't an inheritance that will perish. It's an inheritance that will last forever. How do we know? Because Jesus is alive. So as we waiting for his glorious return, which we have no right in being there, but through him we do. Because it talks about sonship in verse 15. And I know some people might think, wait, is it not sons and daughters? No, but the term sonship is important, because the eldest son at this time, he would have received the inheritance. And that is how God sees us. He sees us as that eldest son who receives the inheritance. As adopted children through Jesus' death, we can call God Father. And we are his. And we inherit what Jesus inherits. The journey to the finish line isn't a blissful summer walk. Because what does it talk about? It talks about suffering. It says, indeed, we share in his suffering. Suffering is part of the journey. And let's be honest, none of us really like the idea of suffering. If I gave you the option of a nice, easy, comfortable life or suffering, most of us would pick the nice, comfortable life. But the suffering is insignificant when we think about what we have been adopted into. The suffering is short, but the glory lasts forever. So when suffering comes, why don't we call out to the Father, ask him for help? Because Jesus knew what it was like to suffer. See, suffering is going to happen. But when it does, that shouldn't be the thing that draws you away from God. No, it should draw you closer. Why? Because the final destination is wonderful. The new creation awaits. No disputes, no disease, no death, just perfection. Perfect creation with the Father. That is ours as adopted children of God. That is what we have to look forward to, that what we can look forward to with certainty. Because through Jesus, we are adopted children of God. If you're here this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, you wouldn't say you're yet part of God's family, then I urge you to think about it. See, the inheritance, the future of the non-believer is very different to that is spoken about here. It's not glory, but the Bible says it's destruction. But the amazing thing is, there is a way of switching your final destination. Jesus hung on a cross so that if you trust in him, you can be brought into the family. You can be an adopted child of God. If you are a child of God here this morning, praise God that he saved you, that he's brought you into the family, not because you deserve so, but because of his grace. And will you show your family likeness? Let me pray. Father, we thank you that though we are undeserving people, that you bring us into your family, that you sent your Son, so that through the Spirit we can be called sons and daughters of you. Help us to build our relationship with you. Help us to call out to you more, to spend more time in your word. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.